And when you close your eyes.
The Germans, and they're in trouble. Alcantara couldn't do it. Lineker probably could. And England have equalised. It's Gary Lineker.
The equaliser
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Final Countdown, a podcast looking back at great finals within the game of football. I'm Lewis, here with my co-host Adam.
Hello there.
We have come to the end of a dream, the end of a saga.
It's a very strange feeling.
Our World Cup series. So, obviously, this is the most recent World Cup. We will, you know, if God willing, this podcast is still running in 4 years, which who knows?
Who knows?
We might cover that. But yeah, so we are into the final World Cup now of the Final Countdown. But it is your turn, Addy, with the report.
Yeah, we've been through them all, and we arrive at a World Cup that happened a mere few months ago.
That's right. Oh, it's still so fresh in the memory.
Still so fresh. And in some ways, it's a bit of a weird World Cup, wasn't it? Because it was in the winter, which was already strange. It was brilliant, but it was also tainted.
Yeah,
which exactly. we'll talk about in a second. But yeah, so the 2022 World Cup, I guess in the way it ended, probably brought about enough of a saving grace of the World Cup brand.
The narrative saved it from the controversy.
Absolutely, yeah. But how it started wasn't necessarily like that. So the first World Cup held in the Arab world and the Muslim world, and the second held entirely in Asia. After when, can you tell me?
Japan and Korea.
Very good.
Look, oh, yeah, you. Mate, 2002, I'm there. I'm
very
there.
Sharp for this time of the morning.
I've had my coffee. I'm firing on all cylinders. I'm like a young Darius Vassell at the start line. Ready, because he is quick.
He was quick.
He is rapid.
Rapid. It was also, as I mentioned, the first ever winter tournament, which was bizarre, really.
And also, it genuinely robbed something. I'm going to not try and be too negative. And we'll get into everything today. But yeah, you want that sense of it's a holiday for everyone. You want the kind of the flags out in the sunshine, people filling the streets, and you can't do that.
It was strange, wasn't it? Yeah.
Even their pub lunches for Christmas in the same place.
It was cool having the games. Like, the non-stop flow of games, which a major tournament brings. Like, oh, man, there's four football games today, all that kind of thing. Like, that was cool, but it was bizarre. Like, I remember coming home from work and, like, pissing down with rain and England flags drenched outside pubs. You're like, this isn't right.
No, this isn't what I signed up for in 1990. This isn't the World Cup that I was promised by Bobby Robson.
I made it very clear to FIFA. So anyway, so let's get into the controversy that kind of surrounded the World Cup at the start. And obviously this, from a personal point of view, affected you quite heavily. And so I'll ask you a question. But just to set it up, the choice to host the World Cup in Qatar attracted significant criticism, with concerns raised over the country's treatment of migrant workers, women and members of the LGBTQ community. So Lou, you made a big decision with this World Cup. What was that and why?
Yeah, so... I always say football is the most important of the least important things. Like, you've got your family, you've got your job and everything else, but it's probably our number one passion, or certainly sport in general.
Yeah.
And so I decided to boycott the 2022 World Cup, so to not engage with it by watching the games or by following it on social media, that kind of thing. And the reason that I came to that is because, for me, there is a line in the sands that everyone has different ones and everyone is comfortable with different levels. For me, it's like we've spoken numerous times on this podcast about how corrupt FIFA is, about all the money that's exchanged hands, all the business deals, all the backdoor bribery. And I guess that it's a strange sense to say, but I guess I'm comfortable with that level of corruption happening in the business world. Yeah. It seems normal to me that once you become multi-million, multi-billion pound organisations, of course, this is the corruption that happens. Anyway, I'm not going to go off on a capitalist rant. It's not about that, because we all need to work in this capitalist world. So do you know what I mean? It's like, I really hate the system that I'm a part of every day and contribute
heavily
to.
There's the tension right there.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think for me, when it crossed the line into literally costing people's lives in an avoidable manner, I think that's the thing. There was a way, because Qatar spent 220 billion pounds on this World Cup and the infrastructure to support it. It's not as if they couldn't afford to pay better wages. They couldn't afford to give migrant workers their own accommodation, all the kind of things. And again, we're not going to retread the whole thing. Everyone is either aware of it or can do their own research. But all of that led me to go, the only thing FIFA cares about, the only, they don't see me as a fan. They don't care about my passion for the game. They don't care about my joy for the game. They just want to monetize fan number 1,062,000, which is my randomly assigned number. And so I felt the only way that I could protest, for want of a better phrase, or just feel comfortable, was for me to not engage with it. I don't know if you want to talk about this now, but looking back, I actually think it didn't work.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah. So I think for me, I look back, and if I had my time again, I wouldn't do that, because ultimately a boycott only works if you have millions of people doing it, or, and I think me and you have spoken about this off mic, or if corporations and sponsors boycott, if the money
well,
that they're losing,
I think that's the biggest
is,
thing. We've seen that with the Women's World Cup recently, haven't
that's
we?
Right.
The sponsors. So yeah, I think you're right. I'm not sure the fans, unless someone could make them move in their billions,
exactly,
would ever make a difference.
Yeah. So it kind of I'm glad that I did it because I followed my conviction, but in hindsight, I'm like, it didn't achieve anything other than robbed me of the little joy that you can get from, you know, the most important, least important thing.
Yeah.
So all of that to say, so that's why, for the eagle-eared listeners among you, you'd notice that we changed the order of the World Cup so that Ad could do this report, because the only bit of football that I saw, ironically, and actually it worked out really well, was around your house. We were hanging out, our wives were hanging out, we turned the TV on, and it was the France-Argentina final from about the second half onwards.
Well, I convinced you to watch it because it got good.
That's right,
you need to watch this. You'll regret it if you don't.
Yeah, which ultimately I'm very thankful that we did do that.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where it's like, what am I going to do? Just go stand in the kitchen and make you feel like a knob for watching it?
Well, come on, mate. I would have turned it off. Well, don't paint me as some kind of...
I wouldn't have... If it was the other way around, I wouldn't have turned it off, mate. You're a better friend than
no,
I am.
This is good, mate. Can you piss off?
But all of that to say, I definitely saw one of the greatest World Cup finals in history, luckily, or at least the majority of it. But yeah, so that was my thoughts on the Qatar thing, where I just thought, when you're talking about thousands of people's lives that were avoidable, it's not just a corruption of money, which is part and parcel.
Yeah.
So that was the reason that I boycotted. Ultimately, I don't think it worked. Also, the good thing, sorry, I can edit this down for brevity, but the other good point, actually, is that I assumed, probably in some kind of weird, arrogant way, or like snobby way, that like there would be a small vocal minority that would be trying to shine a light on this corruption, and that actually it would get forgotten about, and it would be barely talked about in the lead up to the World Cup, and during the World Cup it wouldn't be highlighted.
Yeah.
And boy was I wrong. It was obviously the journalism around the world was absolutely superb, and broadcasters bringing it up on live TV and then talking about it. And actually I was really encouraged. There's not a lot of encouragement that comes from following football normally, but I was so touched is the wrong word, but so happy that people were shining a light, and it became such an enormous conversation around the World Cup. It was like, oh, so part of my boycotting was based on the fact that like no one's going to be talking about this. It will begin. Nobody will ever think about it again. And actually, I've been completely wrong, and it's been highlighted massively. So, and I think like well done to the world's journalists for shining a light and keeping the light turned on. Really,
yeah. I mean, Gary Lineker was suspended for what he said about Qatar money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was just the other thing. Yeah, okay.
Well, football and genius, nothing less. We're watching an alien play this game of ours, the likes of which we've never seen before.
Okay, so much like the broadcast world, they suddenly switched in narrative, didn't they, and said, right, onto the football.
Onto the football.
So let's do the same
thing. Yeah, sure.
So, from the 2018 World Cup, which we did last week, France were the defending champions, a very strong French team. And this made the first time since the 2002 final in which a team had consecutive appearance at the finals.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So, yeah, France, since 2002, which obviously with Brazil, they were such a strong team, and it was such a young, strong team in 2018. They were still very much...
And 2026, they're going to be one of the favourites again because
crazy,
of the age profile.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely crazy. So that was something to look forward to. Also, the first since 1998, in which the title holders qualified for the subsequent final, both feats achieved by Brazil. Of course, it was Brazil. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this French team are pretty special. And like you just said, like 4 years' time, we could see a bit of a almost Spanish-type dominance.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
with decent football.
That's right, yeah. Well, I mean, it depends who you ask, but sure, I understand.
That was just to poke you, mate.
Yeah, the naysayers will say that. I think it comes down to, like, do you like Formula One or do you like Connect Four? Different games for different needs.
Yeah, I know which one I'd rather watch on telly, mate, for sure. Qatar were the only team making their debut in the FIFA World Cup. That's the first time. Becoming the first host to make their tournament debut since Italy in 1934.
Oh, yeah. Which, that's interesting. Yeah.
Interesting little stat there. I mean, it's kind of obvious, I guess, as the game got more popular, we've obviously covered all these, that was the second World Cup was the last time
that a
team made their debut. The Italians, as we mentioned them, were the only former champions and the highest-ranked team in the FIFA Men's World Rankings that failed to qualify.
I mean, it's the small victories. Do you know what I mean? They beat us in Euro 2020.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they don't get to qualify for this one.
Was it Macedonia or North Macedonia they lost to?
Yeah, I think it was. Because I remember Goran Pandev getting the headlines. The guy who, from an aerial view, his hair makes a penis. So I would say Google Goran Pandev penis, but maybe just Goran Pandev hairline.
Yeah.
And, it's brilliant. I'll put it up on the social.
Totally different search.
Yeah, as an image.
Italy were also the fourth team to have failed to qualify for the upcoming World Cup, after having won the previous European Championship.
Such a curse, isn't it? It's so strange.
But I thought that was great. So can you name the other three?
Oh.
Won the Euros, failed to make the World Cup.
Holland?
No. Holland were there, mate. Come on. Do you remember the flop?
No, I can't think. Spain?
No.
No, Spain...
We need to do the Euro finals,
yeah,
mate.
We do.
Greece?
Oh, yeah.
Won it in 04, yeah. Failed to make 06.
Denmark.
Won it in 92, failed to make 94. And Czechoslovakia. Won in 76.
I would never have got that.
In the first penalty shootout win.
Oh, yeah, Panenka.
Yeah. They failed to make 78.
Right, interesting.
So, yeah, they're becoming... Italy joined that little list. Maybe in one of the most joyous moments of the World Cup, Germany went out in the group stages.
Oh, it was criminal, wasn't it? Again, so much of this was like... me hearing through hearsay, because again, I would be asking you boys, like, what's gone on? What's happened?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's sweet victories. It's music to the ears of every Englishman.
I mean, if there's anybody listening in Germany, like, we don't hate you. We just got history.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just feels good, like, probably feels good when you beat us.
Yeah, it's just a rivalry thing.
It was just funny. Second World Cup in a row as well that Germany have done that.
Yeah, that's right.
This one was in particularly dramatic fashion with the loss to Japan. And with the kind of controversy of whether the ball crossed the line, the touchline as he pulled it back. But ultimately, Germany just weren't good enough, really, when it comes down to it. It wasn't that solitary goal that sent them out.
No, exactly. Their frailties were revealed. That's all it comes down to. They're just not a great generation in the same way that England through the 70s was not a great generation.
No.
So it's just, it happens. It's cyclical. Like you said, Spain at the moment are struggling. They obviously were recording this after they lost to Scotland. Yeah. It's just teething problems as you're trying to deal with the aftermath of having a once in a generation squad.
Yeah.
And so France will probably have it in 10, 12 years when this new generation, you know, falls by the wayside or retires or gets old. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, Germany went out in the group stages. Sandy Cohen.
Sandy Cohen, just, frustrated.
Yeah, he looked tired, didn't he?
He just went back to his family.
That's it. Well, Kiki's not there. Where did that come from?
That's a great pull. What a depth of knowledge about the OC.
I wasn't even thinking
there.
About that. I've got that written down. It just popped into my head. They had troubles.
They did, but they saw him through.
They did.
Joachim Lowe, Joachim Sandy Cohen is a fatal man.
We've just gone into an OC podcast. Anyway, Wales, they failed to live up to the hype. There was a lot of hype about Wales.
There was,
They'd made their first final since 1958. Gareth Bale was going to take them through to the final because obviously they'd done well in the Euros in 5 years, 6 years before. It just didn't happen.
No, Wales should be happy. This is so patronising. Wales should be happy that they got there. But they genuinely should. Like, it's a great achievement to get to
the stage.
Do
you think the Euros in some way, like, betrayed their expectations a little bit?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they did amazing in that Euro 2016.
That's right, yeah, yeah. No, they were absolutely incredible. But again, it's like, you should kind of take that as the outlier rather than the expectation.
Yeah.
Especially, like, Wales managed to get into the group with everything that happened with Ryan Giggs, obviously, as their manager, who then dropped out. Rob Page took over. They did incredibly well. This sounds so patronising, but I don't mean it's that. I mean, like, we can talk about population statistics.
Well, ultimately, they're a nation that haven't been there for 60, 70 years. Yeah. So, of course, they did well.
It was, amazing stuff. But ultimately, they came up against USA, who are no mugs at all nowadays.
No.
Obviously, ourselves. And then Iran was really their only opportunity to kind of get a win.
The only moment they had, wasn't it? But that was kind of like, well, here they come. It just didn't materialise. So, a little bit of a kind of just faded away, the whole Wales hype. But it was good fun. I'm actually a bit of a Wales fan. I've been up for them.
Was that the Sky Sports interview? I might be merging two different things here, where they were interviewing fans on like the runway as they were walking towards their aeroplane.
Yes.
Guys, sorry, you're live on Sky News. Your reaction to the win?
We lost.
Sorry, reaction to the loss, and apologies.
That's exactly it. Yeah, it was great.
That was so good. I didn't see that clip.
It was brilliant. So, yeah, on to the main man, the man that took the World Cup by storm in the end, Messi, Lionel Messi, had scored four times by the quarterfinals for Argentina. Kind of slow start in Argentina.
Yeah, well, they lost their first game.
They did, yeah.
Rather shockingly.
They did. And they still, only the second team in history to lose their first game and win the World Cup, along with
Spain.
Very good.
Espanol.
He's ready. So yeah, Lionel Messi slowly came in and grew into the tournament, and by the quarterfinals, which was a bit of a pivotal game,
right,
against the Netherlands, an incredible comeback from the Netherlands. Argentina were leading 2-0, you know, seconds to play, and Netherlands somehow saw the game go to penalties. It was ridiculous. Weghorst.
Oh, Wout Weghorst.
Who basically secured a transfer. A classic example.
Buying off of a World Cup.
World Cup. Like, what? The free kick. Yeah, those two goals. I don't think he scored the one, actually. He just scored the free kick. And he's gone to Man United for that.
Right, he's done well. Great agent. I bet his agent was loving that. Didn't care about Holland progressing, but he was like, well, I think I can strike a new deal with this one. Hey, Vald, come over here.
He looks like a guy when you see United won something recently, or was it the League Cup they won?
Yeah,
the League Cup. And he looked like someone that he was a fan that had broken into the team.
Pitch invader, we've got a pitch invader.
It did, yeah. It honestly looked like one of those guys that just jumps on the end of a photo.
That's
You're like,
great.
What am I doing here? I mean, I'm sure he's better than that. I've not watched him at all, but it was hilarious and a great example of a World Cup purchase. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, Argentina saw off the challenge. Brilliant game, but they saw off the challenge. Messi and co. going through on penalties. Messi scored again from the spot in the semi-final as Argentina made the final. And France, obviously, were to join them, having seen off England in the quarterfinals. We won't talk about it too much, but
a good performance, but not good enough.
Good performance. Harry Kane can't score two penalties in a game. Mbappe scores three in a game, but you know, you do the maths, Harry.
Cheers, Harry.
Yeah, well done on the record, mate.
Would have got there sooner, wouldn't you?
And then it's worth a mention, France seeing off Morocco in the semi-finals, which was the romance story.
Yeah, exactly. The feel-good factor.
They were great. They were brilliant to watch.
And it reminds me, I can't remember which World Cup it was. You said that everyone got behind. Oh, it was the
Ghana.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It was the 2010 World Cup. Yeah. Where it was similar, where everyone kind of got behind and the host nation got behind Morocco.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember hearing the stories, reading a few of the articles.
It's great. And
it
happens. Cameroon, it happened with in 1990. I think there's a little bit of a thing there where probably England, if we're honest, because we can't really represent the whole world. But when England go out of a World Cup,
yeah,
English people latch onto a team.
That's right.
And it's usually like,
we like an underdog story.
Well, I was going to say the Frank Bruno of the World Cup.
Just, that's a good reference.
The guy you know won't win.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, he's funny.
Yeah, exactly. He's good for a quote.
Yeah. I'm surprised we didn't like Steve Smith more in his early career.
Oh, what a joker. What a joker that guy is.
Cricket reference there for everybody. Anyway, on that, we had France-Argentina meeting in the final. A replay of the 2018 quarterfinal, which was a bit of a humdinger as well. And man alive, was this a humdinger.
You just cannot write scripts like this.
So the final took place in front of 88,966 spectators.
Wow, that's quite an impressive capacity.
It is.
Also, I know the stadiums were state of the art, et cetera, but.
And if anything, if our kind of following FIFA throughout this World Cup thing is anything to go by, the actual total was probably 400,000 people in the
yeah.
stadium.
Yeah, that was a weird thing with the attendance.
It was, wasn't it?
Like, people were seeing like hundreds, if not thousands, of empty seats, but the attendance is being announced as over capacity.
It's
right?
almost like they want us to believe something isn't true.
Mm. I should input the X-Files theme tune there.
Literally sat there somewhere. What's that?
Oh, come on. That was a good
That sounded like Bastille again.
you have stumbled across the karaoke pod from the final countdown.
Sorry. With more than 1.5 billion people watching on television.
Amazing.
So I guess that says it all about the World Cup's draw across the planet. Argentina, I mean, they were great to start with. They took the lead through a penalty by Lionel Messi. He scored a lot of penalties, but I guess he's still got to score them.
Harry.
In the 23rd minute before Di Maria further increased their lead. Brilliant counter-attack, actually, and Messi setting up Di Maria for a bit of Argentinian.
Well, I think, I honestly think Di Maria is what got us to watch the game. Because I think you had it on your phone next to you whilst we were still kind of chatting and everything. And every time you looked down, Di Maria was doing something else. And it was like, oh, hold on. Argentina are really like, are much better than France
he's
at the moment.
He's an older, I know he's not Messi's age, but he's an older boy.
Yeah, 33, 34. Yeah. I think he's 34 actually, yeah.
So 36 minutes in, Argentina are 2-0 up in the World Cup final.
Crazy.
And I remember thinking, well, they've won this then.
Yeah, against a France team that were probably favourites overall.
But weirdly, and that's the next point I had written down, France weren't in the game at all.
No.
Really strange. So France failed to register a shot on goal until the 81st minute.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
That is ridiculous.
For such an attacking team.
Yeah. It's completely stifled.
Isn't kind of like just pass it around the back for 80 minutes.
Yeah. Although we'll move past your sliding at Spain there, but sure.
Thank you.
So yeah, France, the attacking France stifled 81st minute.
Yeah,
great. I assume that's Mbappe.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and that's literally the goal.
Yeah,
the first shot on target was the French comeback beginning, but Argentina largely controlled the game. I mean, in the way that Argentina control the game, so kind of keep ball, but also gamesmanship.
Yeah,
winning
angels
free
with
kicks,
dirty faces.
Exactly that kind of stuff. But I just think it's the nature of the way it always has been. The nature of the way Argentina do things, even at 2-0 up in the World Cup in the 79th minute. They're doing that kind of thing. 11 minutes from the World Cup.
You
they're
love it,
still.
Don't you?
They do my head in. But anyway, I love Messi.
They are symbolised, I'm sure we'll get onto it, but symbolised by their talismanic goalkeeper, Emi Martinez.
Yes.
The ultimate shithouser.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, no, we'll get there. So France failing to register a shot until the 81st minute. Kylian Mbappe suddenly comes. Wow. He did come alive because he wasn't really in the game. He was frustrated a lot of the time. A 97 second brace by Mbappe tied the game at 2-2.
Astounding. And what was great is, and we've spoken about this before, other World Cup finals, often you've got the two talismanic players on either side and it's like, oh, it's Mbappe versus Messi, like who's really the best? Obviously they both play for the same club as well, which
extra
layer of interest to it. But it was kind of like, well, Messi's running away with this one. And then Mbappe goes, actually, no. I will take the torch from you, please. Or at least try.
Yeah, definitely.
Unbelievable.
So, I mean, his first goal was a penalty, which was, very brilliantly. But his second goal was absolutely superb.
Unbelievable techers.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Just a little lob over the top and as close to like a sweet a volley as I can think of. Well, half volley really because it was on the banks, wasn't it?
But again, it's the confidence of you've been out of the game, you haven't had a single shot on target other than a penalty.
Yeah.
And within 90 seconds you go, no, I'll take this on first time, which you shouldn't do. You shouldn't take that on first time, but it's just unbelievably executed. Like there isn't a goalkeeper that's stopping it.
Mbappe, ta-da!
It's amazing, isn't it? You kind of think like in like our level of football.
Sure.
You like every few warm-up shots, just get me eye in. 87 minutes later, you actually have your first shot.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, that's incredible. Like, I'd be skying that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Mbappe tied the game and we went into extra time, which isn't our extra time, it's their extra time.
Their extra time, not our extra time.
Yeah, don't hear
don't
that.
The tune in. Okay,
just wait. That's why aftermath would work better. Anyway, during extra time, Messi then scored again, and you were watching by this point with me, actually on the big screen by this point, to give Argentina a 3-2 lead, and it really did seem that was it.
That was the moment, yeah.
It just felt like Messi's won it.
Yeah, and you would see that clip for the next 20, 30 years when we talk about Messi's legacy and finally doing it. It was like, great, he's put the icing on the cake, this is it, this is his moment.
Lautaro Martinez, Lionel Messi, Fernandez, Martinez!
It just goes to show, doesn't it, like we've learned this throughout this World Cup series for sure, like football does write incredible scripts, but it doesn't write predictable scripts.
Oh, that's good. I like that. But yeah, it's entirely true.
It wouldn't, like, true. The predictable, amazing script would have been that.
Yeah, exactly.
Messi scores the winner and he walks off into the sunset.
Exactly.
But that's not what happened. Literally, seconds remaining, Mbappe scored another penalty. Cheers, Harry. to tie the game at 3-3, becoming the second man to score a hat-trick in a World Cup final.
After?
Come on, mate.
Hat-trick in a World Cup
final? I'm about to storm out of this bloody podcast. Are you serious?
Wait, just don't tell me.
This is insane.
Hat-trick in a World
Cup
final.
Don't you edit this out. I'm going to keep talking so you don't. This is how long it's taking you.
I can still edit around you.
This is how long it's taking you. You can edit around this. Jeff Hurst.
Oh my God. Right, I'm resigning now. I can't believe that.
I'm embarrassed for you.
I'm embarrassed for me. Oh, ads, this has just crashed, actually. It's corrupted. We've lost all the audio. The thing is, I went, no one's done it for Germany. No one's done it for Spain. I was like going through the teams that have, like, nobody's done it for Brazil. All the teams that win it. And I was like, oh yeah, England won it once. I forgot
Come
about
on,
that.
Mate.
That is horrendous.
Anyway, brilliantly, Jeff Hurst, I don't know if he tweeted or whether he just was quoted as saying it, said, welcome to the club, Killian.
Ah, oh, that's nice.
Which I was like, Jeff, there's no other way
that you and
that
Mbappe
you and him would ever connect. But that was it. I love that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'd do, to be fair.
Welcome to the club, Killian. And yeah. Mbappe's like, the bloody hell's Jeff.
Quiet down, Jeff. It's one of those bots again. Jeff, 1966, has just tweeted at me.
Classic. In the 123rd minute, with 15 seconds of the extra time to spare, and with the score tied at 3-3, a loose ball fell to Kolo Muani at the edge of the box, who, with no Argentina defender to stop him, shot low to the right of the goal.
And yet, Emi Martinez, he loves it. Makes himself big, Schmeichel-like. It was a great save.
Martinez blocked the shot with his left thigh to take the match to a penalty shot. It was an incredible save.
It was an amazing save. But you just think, like, Kolo Randall Muani,
yeah,
must be... Oh, like, he must have a dartboard with Martinez's face on it.
I mean, what a chance.
Yeah.
Like, you, is he a striker? I mean, yeah. Is he an attacking player? Like, blimey, you must be thinking, how on earth did I not score that?
Yeah, the whole goal, and he's just hit it. He's lashed it as well. That's what I remember. There was no placement. He's really lashed it. And you just, like you say, he's 1-1. He had time, but yeah, it's the inexperience maybe, because I think Marnie's fairly young. I think he's like 22.
I mean, he could have placed
it. First France squad. So, yeah,
like, yeah, it's just crazy. Like, I remember turning to you as the penalty shootout got ready, and almost it hitting us how big a moment that was.
Yeah.
In the moment, it was like, oh, what a save!
But it's because it had been such a ding dong thing. It was, in extra time. It's one of those rare extra times where both teams were actually going for it. It didn't feel like everyone's scared to make a mistake. So there were so many chances in quick succession.
Yeah.
And because, like you've spoken about, really from the 81st minute, the game kicks off, even though, ironically, Argentina are 2-0 up.
Yeah.
Like, it's from the 81st minute that really the whole drama of the final unfolds. So it just felt, like you say, just another chance.
Absolutely,
and then the final whistle goes, and you go, oh, okay, that really was the chance to wrap it up.
Yeah, absolutely. It went to a penalty shootout. Messi scored his. Mbappe incredibly scored his third.
Balls of steel.
Absolutely.
Take note, Harry.
Then France missed two in a row and Montiel scored his. Argentina were champions again. Lionel Messi collapsed to his knees in tears in what were brilliant scenes. I think if you're a football fan, forget Ronaldo versus Messi. If you're a football fan, it was brilliant to watch.
It was just fitting. It felt right that Messi, who, again, regardless of your thoughts, is undoubtedly in the top five footballers of all time ever.
Yeah.
It just felt right that he now had a World Cup after falling short a couple of times.
And, yeah, yeah.
In some people's eyes, flattering to deceive on the international stage. It's like, no, he's finally done it.
He's world class at last.
He's world class anyway, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah, sure.
All right, let's head to extra time.
Well, you have just witnessed 90 of the most gripping minutes of European football you will ever, ever see. But the good news is there's more to come.
Okay, with 172 goals, the tournament set a new record for the highest number of goals scored within the 32-team format, which sounds more impressive than it is, because 32 teams have only played like five times or six times.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
But still, it was you know, high-scoring World Cup for that. Every participating team scoring at least one goal.
Oh, that is good. Everyone got their moment.
First time in history.
That's really cool.
So that was sweet. Messi's appearance in the final, his 26th World Cup game, meant that, I didn't know this at the time, meant he surpassed Mateus as the player with the most appearances in the World Cup.
I didn't know that. I would have guessed.
It's probably his last one, I would have
thought. Yeah, he's not going to make it to the next World Cup, but I thought Messi would have retired.
Yeah,
after
he's
this,
carrying on.
And he's still carrying on, scoring hat-tricks against Curacao. But I just think, is he trying to wind up Ronnie? Is that what he's trying to do?
He just loves the game.
He's chasing
he?
Him. What's it? Ronaldo got his 120th
he
goal.
He did, yeah.
And Messi's on 102 now, I think, or 103. So it's like, Messi's still technically got 2 years on Ronnie. But anyway, that's a whole different podcast.
I can't see it.
No, I can't
see it. Anyway, who knows? With his goals, Messi became the second player to score in the round of 16, quarterfinals, semifinals, and final of a World Cup tournament.
That's cool.
After Hungary's Sarosi in 1938. Those of you that are listening saying, oh, where's Jorginho? There wasn't a round of 16 in 1970.
Interesting.
So Jorginho didn't do it. Argentina became the second team after Spain in 2010 to win the World Cup after losing their opening game, as we mentioned earlier. France became the first team to score 3 goals in a World Cup final and lose.
Oh, that's not a record you want, is it?
You don't want that.
Although, do you think Mbappe is obviously, he's obviously gutted. Obviously gutted in the World Cup. But do you think secretly to himself, he's also like, yeah, but I got a hat-trick in the World Cup final. Do you think that is any comfort or not?
I think that's the amateur in me and you that thinks that. I think he's just like, I'd rather have not scored and won the game.
Yeah, yeah.
I think. I mean, it's crazy. He scored it. If he, you know, you like, Kylian, you're going to score a hat-trick today, he would have been like, yes, we're going to win this thing.
Walk away with the World Cup.
Crazy. Argentina, the first reigning champions of the Copa America to win the World Cup.
No. I'm stunned by that. I'm amazed Brazil never done it. That is nuts, isn't it?
It was the 10th World Cup title for a South American side. This is quite interesting. Obviously, at the end of our World Cup journey. Mm-hmm. The 10th World Cup for a South American side. The 8th South American victory in 11 finals facing European opposition.
They've got our number.
They have.
That's very interesting. Dominant. Although, strangely, is that they've never won a World Cup in Brazil. Europe. I can't remember.
I know Brazil won it in Japan, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. I think South American teams have only ever won it outside of Europe, whether that's like Africa, Asia, or South America. I don't think there's a European victory.
I'm just scouring history in my head. I think you're right.
So it's one of those things like...
No, Brazil won in Sweden.
Oh, there we go. Good lad. That's why you're on the pod. It's that kind of depth of knowledge. That and Kiki from the OC.
Well, there we go. So yeah, South American teams beat European teams. I mean, it made me think, and it might be a pause of whether we can fill as we think, but what were the three European teams that beat France beat Brazil in 98, Germany beat Argentina, 86, and in 90. Is that it? That's three.
Nice.
So Germany.
Very good.
As we finish this World Cup, we leave you with unbelievable scenes in Buenos Aires on the 20th of December. I mean, that's a weird thing. On the 20th of December, 5 days before Christmas, the arrival of the players of Argentina gathered a crowd estimated by local media at over 4 million people.
I mean, could you imagine being a person in HR sending out the email the night before the World Cup being like, so we are expecting everyone to be at work tomorrow.
Have you ever
felt more ignored in your position than
man
that?
Man alive.
But the scenes are absolutely
breathtaking. It's crazy, isn't it, to see. So the bus that was due to go through the streets had to be abandoned.
That's right.
Because they just couldn't get through.
People jumping off of bridges onto the bus. It was crazy.
Yeah, so the team got out of the bus and they got airlifted by helicopter out of their bus.
That's
because
crazy,
they were like, we're going to be stuck here for hours because millions of people literally are surrounding us.
That is unbelievable.
Which is nuts. I mean, there is a little, there's an action scene happening there for me that, like, the helicopter hovers over the top of this open up top bus and Messi just jumps and holds on as they fly away.
Yeah.
That should have been the shot.
That would have been great. World Cup in one hand, holding onto the helicopter in the other,
like
Captain America
Tom Cruise.
Yeah. That is exactly the one. But what I find, sorry, you might touch on this, this is a slight tangent, but I'm thinking about the crazy celebrations. Mm. And I'm thinking about Emi Martinez, who got the golden glove, went up on the World Cup stage and thrusted it against his groin.
Yeah, he lost his way a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah. And a lot of people were like, oh, you know, that's showing a lack of class and all this kind of thing. You need characters like that. I mean, I don't particularly like that celebration, but I do like that Martinez is in the shithouse. But they've just brought in rules. I don't know if you saw this. I think it was last week. They've just announced changes to penalty shootouts, limiting what the keeper is allowed to do to put players off. So keepers are now not allowed to come and interact with the person taking the free kick. They have to deliver the ball
to stuff,
them.
Didn't he?
Throwing the ball away.
And my question there is, how are they going to enforce that? And if a ref deems it that he needed to send him off, can they sub in a shootout?
Great questions. I don't have the answers on my head. But no, it's massively open to interpretation.
So anyway, within 48 hours, this is great. This is our finish. 48 hours of Messi posting the Instagram post with the World Cup trophy that had surpassed 64 million likes.
That's crazy.
And in doing so, it became the most liked social media post ever.
Is that right?
Across all social media platforms, surpassing the previous most liked Instagram post, the egg.
The egg can make a comeback. I believe in the egg.
I think there were people trying to do that.
That's great. Yeah. I believe in the egg. The egg's got longevity. At the moment, we're all about Messi, but the egg will outlast Messi. The egg is forever. For those that don't know, it's literally a picture of an egg that people tried to get.
Well, they did.
The world's most liked Instagram photo, and it happened. So,
well, until Messi came along and won the World
Messi
Cup.
He's just breaking records, even outside of his area of expertise, isn't he? He's the social media god, along with the football god.
Nothing to do with that post. So there we go, 2022 World Cup, and that completes our World Cup journey, Louis.
I'm sure that all of our listeners are wondering what we're going to be doing as our next series, but so are we. But we are now about to put our brains together and come up with a fantastic new series of Final Countdown. Thank you to everyone that has been joining us recently, and we are going to be heading into a new series shortly.